Well, good day, everyone, everywhere, and special greetings to all those seated in heavenly places in Jesus, our Messiah. The name of this broadcast is Cross the Border, and I'm Nicholas, and this is a Prophecy Reality News Edition. And, well, that's what we're going to do. We're going to talk about some news items. I want to talk a little bit more about America's place in prophecy. And whatever else comes up in the chat room or during the hour. And in the second hour, we're going to jump back into history and take another look or continue look at the life and times of John Huss. So you'll want to stick around for that if you're into history at all. History is very important. If most people knew history, well, it would change their view of the way things are today. Because if you can see the way things were in history, it gives you a better clue as to what's really going on. Because history, well, some people say it repeats itself, but rarely does it do that. But others say that it rhymes, and, you know, I believe that. So if you don't know history, another one says that you're bound to repeat it. And we want to repeat the good history if we can, if there's any good history out there. Let's see. The deal of the century. Someone already brought that up in the chat room. The peace deal of the century. Well, I think you need to change the word peace from peace, as in, you know, the opposite of war, to peace, like pieces on a board or on a map, okay? And then I would agree that it is the peace deal of the century. And that sounds just like Donald Trump rhetoric, the peace deal of the century. But, you know, what do you expect? I mean, this is reality. We're dealing with the kingdoms of the world, the kingdoms ruled by Satan. And you can't expect anything else. There's not going to be any peace deal. Whoever represents the Palestinians, which weren't even there when they shook hands on the peace deal of the century, are they going to go for it? Are they going to get part of Jerusalem? I hear that the East Jerusalem that they're going to get is not part of the Jerusalem that we know, but it's going to be a new East Jerusalem. And, you know, they should take it. They should take what they can get. Because basically the peace deal of the century says that you take what we're offering you or the status quo remains, and you are losing under the status quo. And you will keep losing until you have nothing left to lose at all. And so that's pretty much the way it works. That's the way of the world. That's the kingdoms of this world, which under the rulership of Satan and his Antichrist. If you want to know why something's happening, you just have to say, well, what is the Antichrist getting out of it? You know, what does the Antichrist want? And that's what the Antichrist is going for. Now, I'm not saying the Antichrist is omnipotent and it has power. The Antichrist can be confounded. And I think that that's our job as Christians, especially as Protestant, Reformed Protestants, is to confound the Antichrist and his minions in their efforts in this world. And there's enough to confound them even without our help. It's like the whole monetary system. You know, the Antichrist has taken the whole world on this new course of fiat currency. And it's always what the Antichrist always wanted, to be able to control the currency of the world. But control is another thing, because as you can see, you know, a lot of people are deriding Donald Trump because he has the biggest deficits ever, and they're getting bigger every year. And I think I just heard on Financial Survival, they project by 2050 that they project that the deficits will be 174% of the national product. Okay, that what the nation produces in wealth will be the borrowing of the country each year will be 174% of that. Well, that's unsustainable with real money. But with fiat currency, Well, nothing. I mean, it's unsustainable, but let's see how far we can take it. Let's see if we can get it up to 300%. You know, not one, my intuition tells me that what is unsustainable is 174% by 50-50. It's going to be more like, you know, 1,000%. But by then you have hyperinflation. So it's not sustainable. It'll never get to 174% because, well, that's the way it's going now. We're at, like, at the beginning, somewhere in the middle of the beginning, or we're one third the way to hyperinflation, and there's no stopping this train. That's where we're at with the monetary system. And there's really nothing we can do about it. The only thing that can really truly be done is to peg money to something that's solid, that doesn't change, you know, kind of like it used to be, or like actually the laws that still exist, the coinage acts and so forth from, 1796 or whatever year it was that they came out with the coinage act, pinning the dollar to gold and silver, to so many grains of gold or silver, for a dollar, because a dollar is a unit of measurement. You know, it's not a measurement of nothing. But these dollars they have now, Federal Reserve note dollars, are different kinds of dollars. They aren't pegged to anything certain because they aren't real money. So, real money. So we can see where that's going. But here's the good news. In America, a lot of people worried about it. You know, I have goats here. And I just had a goat born this year, like it's maybe 6 months old, if that. But it has one black horn and one white horn. It's a full-bred Nigerian buck. One black horn, one white horn. Very peculiar looking. Even funny looking to some people. But really cute if you're into goats at all. It has one black horn and one white horn. It made me think of the final beast of the book of Revelation, the seventh beast. And the two-horned earth beast from chapter 13 is the final beast that appears in the Bible. Now, no, I don't have any sheep. I have the goats for milk, and I sell the kids. That's all. That's what we do, but no sheep. Sorry. I have enough to do that. I can't be shearing sheep and, you know, knitting wool or whatever you do with sheep. Okay. Or I guess you could eat them too. But like I said, I have too much other stuff to do. Now I'm off on a different topic altogether, but let's get back to the final beast of Revelation chapter, of the Revelation. The final beast of the scripture is the two-horned earth beast. And all of the other beast powers, well, how many other beast powers are named in the Revelation except the one? And that is the sea beast, the ten-horned sea beast. But it is also named in Old Testament prophecy, specifically Daniel. And then you have other beasts that are named in Daniel. And people have different ideas about what beasts are. Like some people think that the Antichrist is the beast. When the Bible speaks of the beast, it is speaking of the Antichrist. But it's not. You know, that's kind of an elementary view. Because the Antichrist controls the beast for a while. It's the little horn with the mouth. And it controlled the beast. It plucked up three other horns or divisions of that beast power before it. So a lot of people, like I said, that's an elementary view. It's like saying that Donald Trump is the United States of America. That's what saying that the beast is the Antichrist and the Antichrist is the beast. It's kind of elementary. It's not true, even though Donald Trump represents America, but he is not America. Okay, it's kind of the same thing. The little horn represents or speaks for the beast, but it is not the beast. And it hasn't always spoke for the beast, and it will not always speak for the beast. But beast powers are, there's kind of rules to beast powers, and I've been studying this for a long time and trying to sort out these rules so you can figure out who these beast characters are, you know, what localities, what nations they represent. And so it's kind of important to understand how beast powers come up. And I realized one thing about all of the beast powers of the Bible, you know, apocalyptic prophecy, both from Daniel and from the Revelation, is that they're all original powers that rise up wherever they rise up. The sea beast rose up in the Western Roman area, the Western Europe. Okay, so they all rose up in that same locality. But a beast power, when it rises up at first, when it does rise up, it rises up as an original power in the earth. And then the beast comes after it. If it's in the same locality, it assimilates the beast powers that were before it. But another thing you'll never find in the scripture is that no beast power is a division of another power. In other words, a beast power does not divide up and become different beasts. Okay? They only assimilate. They don't come out of another beast power. So when a beast appears, it assimilates powers before it. It may assimilate. Okay, if it's in the same locality, like in the, it comes up out of the sea, that's indicating the locality. So beast powers only assimilate, but they don't divide up and become separate beast powers. And once a beast power is assimilated by another beast power, it never breaks off and becomes a separate beast power again. Okay? It remains assimilated. And then you have the final beast power that appears in apocalyptic prophecy, and that is the two-horned earth beast. So we learn from the other beast powers that when a beast appears, it's an original power in itself. It's not a division of another one. So there are several people out there that say, well, the earth beast of Revelation chapter 13 was the clergy. Was a division of the Roman Empire, of a division of the Catholic Church, of the great apostasy. But see, that violates the rule, doesn't it? That the beast power, when it develops as an original power in the earth. It's not a division of a power that already appeared. Okay? So we have to, if we're going to say, well, who is this two-horned earth beast power? Well, we realize it rises up in a different locality, whereas the four that came before it, including the sea beast contemporary with it in Revelation chapter 13, rose up out of the sea. This one rises up out of the earth. The locality is different. And that's why I believe it's America. Now, there's a lot of people who've written books, and it's become very popular to say that America is Mystery Babylon. No, America is not Mystery Babylon. America is the two-horned earth beast of Revelation 13, because it is the only power that rose up in a separate locality. It did not assimilate the sea beast powers before it, because that's why it comes alongside of the sea beast in Revelation chapter 13, and it helps it. See? So it can't assimilate it if it's going to exist alongside it and help it. Now, here's the good news. I was talking about my little goat with the one black horn and one white horn because I didn't have them debudded or, you know, to have the horns removed when they're young. So it has one horn that is lamb-like, and I believe this is what the determination of the description is, that one of the horns of power, it's a two-horned, because the horns represent a division of power in the beast itself. So you can have a beast that has divided powers, but the divided powers are represented by horns. And we get that from, you know, Alexander's, the Greek Empire, when Alexander rose up. And the Bible explicitly interprets this for us. Okay. When about the Greek Empire, Alexander was that singular horn. But when he died, that singular horn was broken off and four came up in its place, and the kingdom was divided into four parts. And that's part of history. You can read about that for yourself. And the translation, the interpretation is given in the Bible itself. That's where we need to get our interpretation from. So we take that. That's what horn powers represent, a division of power within a beast. And as we have indicated by the 10 horn beasts and by the single horn beasts, one horn being plucked up and four coming up in its place, that the division of power went from singular to four in the Greek Empire. And then we have the illustration of in the 10 horned sea beast that there were 10 horns. A little horn rose up, plucked up three of the horns, and then ran, you know, pretty much ran the whole kingdom for 1260 years. That was the papacy. That was the rule, the overt rule of the papacy for 1260 years. So we use that to understand what the two horns represent on this earth beast, this final beast, which must be the seventh beast that is spoken of in the Revelation, because it's the only other beast. See, because the sixth beast was contemporary with John when he wrote the Revelation, so it was the Roman Empire. And the only other one that's come up since then as a dominating power in the earth is the United States of America, because it didn't rise up in the same place as the other pieces. And some people go, well, what about Mexico and all those South American nations? And what about Canada? Don't they qualify? Well, that's the problem. See, the problem with that is that everything from Mexico through South America were vassals of the sea beast power under the little horn. So it belonged to them. They were vassal states of the papacy when it ruled for 1260 years, including Canada, which is still a vassal state of the empire of the city of the city of London proper, which is a separate city state controlled really by the Antichrist. So everything else north of America and south of, north of the United States of America and south of the United States of America already belong to the Antichrist and are under his control. So America stands out alone as the Protestant bastion in the world with two horns. Okay. Now the first horn is described as like a lamb. And the second horn is spake as a dragon. And, you know, today it's more evident than ever. America's so polarized between these two powers. And it is so obvious today that anybody going, yeah, this is obvious. It's always been this way, though. It was just, it's never been those two aspects of America's, those two opposing horn powers, the one white, the one black, the one lamb-like, the one that's dragon-like or dragon-speaking. And that's how America is polarized today. And you know what? That's perhaps a good thing. I mean, perhaps that's the best that it gets in the world. Yeah, thank you for that, Carrie answers. Yes, your goat is very prophetic in many ways. I was just thinking about that this morning. Really didn't even think about it till this morning when I was thinking about the two horns and how separate they are. But see, you'll notice something now. There's very little written about the earth beast of Revelation. But what's little is written about it is very important. These two horns, one isn't higher than the other. One never ever subdues the other one. But they rise, the beast rises up with the two horns, and these two horns exist through the life of the beast. They seem to be equal till through the life of the beast. So that's where we are in America. And what that means, we have to fight. You know, we have to protest in America. Because those guys, those dragon-speaking guys over there, and you hear them, they're out there every day. They pretty much control the money, the media, and everything else. It's just some things that they can't control. It's like they would like to do things where if they had one, if they were one singular horn, we'd be done with. Or if their horn rose up higher than ours, it would be over for us. It would be like the 1260-year reign of the Antichrist in Western Europe. If their horn was able to rise higher than ours. And that's what America is. It is the earth beast of the Revelation. And it exercises all the powers of the beast before it, speaking of the sea beast, in context in Revelation chapter 13. America does that. And I've made that point many times. Because America is the police power of the world. You know, Donald Trump, you know, perhaps genuinely wanted to get us out of all these countries. But he can't. He's the American, he's the mouth of the beast, of the two-horned earth beast. Donald Trump is the mouth. We voted him in. He gets to speak. He wants to do certain things, and he's found out since he's become president that he can't do those things. As a matter of fact, if he pressed too hard, he would end up like Abraham Lincoln, John Kennedy, and Ronald Reagan. All shot, right? I mean, if you push too, so you can push so hard, and when you get so much pushback, you know you have to lay off, or you're just gonna, they'll just kill you. They will just kill you. And that's because that's what the dragon does. That's what the Antichrist, the dragon power in America represents the Antichrist influence that was planted in this land with the Constitutional Convention that began America under our present Constitution. And you know what the Antichrist got out of that Constitution? Oh, it got a lot of things it didn't like, but it knew what it could get with what it did like. And that was a concentration of power in Washington, D.C. Get F. Tupper Saucy's book, Rulers of Evil. Well, you can't get it. Go to my website at crosstheborder.org. There's a Bible study tab there. And on that tab, on that page there somewhere, there's a link to F. Tupper Saucy's Rulers of Evil, a PDF there. Because you won't be able to find a copy of this book. And read it. And educate yourself on the dragon power influence, how it was planted in America and became an indelible part of it. And it absolutely is represented by the two-horned earth beast of Revelation chapter 13. I'll be back in a few minutes. Don't go anywhere.
Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust, I will not be afraid. Behold, God is my strength.
Hear it first on FirstAmendmentRadio.com and FirstAmendmentRadio.net.
The book of Revelation says, "The spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus Christ." This is at the very heart of FirstAmendmentRadio.com. In that spirit, we have created the Prophecy Reality News app for all of your mobile devices, streaming First Amendment Radio 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Available for your Apple, Android device, and smartphone, absolutely free. Get the Prophecy Reality News app installed today, so you can listen to First Amendment Radio wherever you are. The Prophecy Reality News app. Get it now.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on satellite, internet, or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our listen and schedule pages on the internet. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.
Welcome back. You're listening to Across the Border. This is our Prophecy or Reality Edition. I'm Nicholas, and today we're talking about America. Is America Mystery Babylon, or is it the two-horned earth beast of Revelation chapter 13? Well, I'm going to go with the latter, because I believe history proves it out. And my position on Bible history is that I am premillennial, and I am also a Protestant historicist. And you can, if you want a clue as to what Protestant historicism is, go to horeapocalyptica.wordpress.com and begin reading there. E.B. Eliot's Hore Apocalyptica in its the Reformation Quincentennial Edition. That's right. And you'll have a good clue, but go there after the broadcast. So we're looking at America today, and America seems more polarized than ever. But I'm going to tell you, it is not more polarized than ever. The polarization of the two-horned earth beast is more evident than ever, is what I believe. But you'll notice that the battle seems to be almost equal. You know, it's just like one side can't get up higher than the other side. But this is absolutely what is predicted by the scripture for America in Revelation chapter 13. America as the two-horned earth beast of Revelation chapter 13, as the image creator, the one that creates an image to the first beast, the sea beast. And that image is the United Nations. The United Nations is the New World Order. As opposed to the Old World Order, that was Rome when it ruled the world for 1260 years. The image of the beast is an image through which the beast that was and is not, yet is, can vicariously rule the world. And you can see that that image, the United Nations, in the New World, being the New World Order, is gaining more and more power all the time. And it will fulfill its place in history as it has in prophecy. If you read chapter 13, see, I'm going to put a link in here, and we can cover some of this really quick here. Paste. And this is horeapocalyptica.wordpress.com, and this is volume 3, chapter 9, Rise of the Two-Horned Earth Beast. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. Now this represents this like a lamb and dragon speaking are the descriptions of these two horn powers. Okay? Because the horns represent power. We settled that. Okay. By looking at what horns represent on other beasts that came before it. And he exercised all the power of the first beast before him and causes the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. And he does great wonders so that he makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast. Chapter 13 of the Revelation is an overview of the life, machinations, and affiliations of the greatest and most enduring of the final world dominating powers or beasts created by mortal men from its very rise until it goes to perdition with its revived head and supporting companions. Those supporting companions? The earth beast and the image it creates. The attributes of the earth beast prefigured in the vision. Let's examine the mentioned attributes of this beast power from the divine text itself and see if we can find a candidate in subsequent history that satisfies all the criteria following. Here we refer to our previous chapter, and you can check that out. Discussion which identifies this new beast power with the seventh king beast of Revelation. And like I said, the Revelation outlines seven beast powers. It names the sixth one is contemporary with John being the Roman Empire. So there's one that comes after that. But what is it? What is the power that comes up after that? Okay. The first attribute. One, he is not yet come. Here's a direct future tense reference to an appearance of a seventh king beast power that did not previously exist. Future from the present tense of John receiving the revelation, and future from the one is then in existence, the sixth king beast already identified as Rome. Revelation 13 has the only mention of the appearance of an additional and subsequent beast power in the scripture, so it must be the same beast power mentioned in both texts. 2. And when he cometh, he must continue a short space. Still directing us to a future tense, the author asserts the continuance of this beast power must be relatively short in comparison to the other beast powers before it, or at least the one immediately preceding and contemporary with it. We now turn back to our primary text above, Revelation 13, 11 through 14. This beast comes up out of the earth. First, we notice that this beast does not rise up out of the sea, as did the four previous beast powers. The sea, waters or flood, each respectively indicating multitudes or a densely populated area, such as the Old World, and conquest by warfare or the sword. This earth beast would rise up without conquest of the beast preceding it, nor would it occupy the highly populated locality of the preceding beast powers. Next attribute. He had two horns like a lamb. For reference, averting our attention to the division of the Greek Empire with its singular horn being broke off and supplanted by four horns signifying for a new fourfold division, and the ten horns of the concurrent sea beast, three being plucked up before the little horn, etc. We expect to see something representing a twofold division of power during the continuance of this earth beast. Its being described as like a lamb may be an indicator as one of those horns, or a division of power, and the other indicated by our next attribute. He spake as a dragon. This dragon influence, or division, would be concurrent throughout the life of this beast power with the two horns, as we notice no change, or one horn being plucked up by another as the Grecian and Roman Empire beast previous to it. This beast may be somewhat schizophrenic with a constant power struggle between its lamb-like qualities and its dragon-like conversation, especially in its support of the sea beast, which derives its power from the dragon or Satan, the god of this world. 6. He exercises all the power of the first beast before him. In its history, the Roman Empire ruled the then known world and all of its civilizations. It had military outposts in many of those nations. It was the police power of the world. This is the kind of power that will be necessary to fulfill the following tasks. Number 7 through 14, set forth in the vision for this earth beast power. 7. Causes the earth and them that dwell therein to worship the first beast. This is an overview of the end result and motivation of this horn division in the following actions, or in the biblical sense, its dragon conversation. He uses the following feats to accomplish world obedience to the first beast. 8. Doeth great wonders so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. In the context, this power is military, an overwhelming military power. Remember the police power of the world. And contemporarily, this means firepower. 9. Deceiveth them that dwell in the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast. In the sight of the beast. Just think about that as we move on here. It's what the earth beast does in the sight of the sea beast, or this new world power does in the sight of the old world power, that brings obedience that they are deceived by. Here we continue the theme of overwhelming military power that would seem miraculous by any historical standard. 10. Saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast. So much so this power that the world will easily capitulate to the assembly of the image of the beast and eventual world obedience to it. 11. He had power to give life to the image of the beast. How do you give power to a political image? Firepower. That's right. Military power. Okay, he had power. The end result of the wonder, power, and miraculous machinations of this earth beast lead to the next step of worship or obedience to the image of the beast that was and is not and yet is, which is a description of the end time sea beast power. What would you call that kind of description? I don't know how else to describe it. Was and is not, yet is. which will vicariously the world, rule the world through the construct of the image. Like people say, the Roman Empire is dead. And people laugh when you tell them that the Antichrist is ruling the world. The Antichrist was outed, was identified 500, 600, 700 years ago, and the man of sin, the seat of the man of sin, has been fulfilled continuously all these centuries, and the throne is at the Vatican. And people laugh at you. Did you think they just scorn you? They make fun of you when you tell them that the shadow government works for him, that he is the Antichrist identified by the Reformed Fathers, not even accepted by the Reformed Church today. Yeah. Our next attribute, 12, and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed, indicating that the second beast's dragon actions must be the primary enforcement arm of the image it creates. Who is the primary military for the New World Order in the United Nations? The image created by America. This image of the sea beast, a world dominating and ruling power. 13, and causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark that no man might buy or sell save he that had the mark. The object of this last attribute, you know, that's a different topic, the mark of the beast. Section 2, identity of the earth beast prefigured in the vision. We now look to recent history, and it seems so obvious, so wonderfully fulfilled, that only one candidate among the prominent powers of the world stands out immediately as fulfilling every criteria of this two-horned earth beast in every detail prefigured in the apocalyptic vision. Here we expound upon them one point at a time. 1. America had not yet come at the reception of the revelation by John. The new world where this power appeared was an unknown. Upon the punishment and wounding, as it were to death, on that head of the sea beast, a dominion that lasted for 1,260 years under that head, and about 1,200 years before that, from its pagan beginnings, about the 8th century BC, the papal power and its Holy Roman Empire seemed to disappear. What was and is not, yet is. By 1870, it seemed only a powerless shadow of it remained. 2. America rises in the New World about the same time of the wounding of the Roman papal head, and has now existed little more than 200 years in its current constitutional form. How much time can this sea beast power, earth beast power continue before it exceeds the short space qualification? Exactly what is a short space in context of the prophecy? Even if Christ were not to appear for several hundred years more, America's time would be a short space by comparison to the sea beast or the Roman Empire. 3. America comes up out of the earth rather than the sea, representing peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues, where the four previous beast powers rose up. This beast rises out of the new world, sparsely populated by comparison. There's no conquest or necessity of assimilation, as noticed in the previous consecutive sea beast powers, so that this beast power can come alongside and support the sea beast as predicted in the text. 4. He had two horns like a lamb, and 5. He spake as a dragon. When a tenth part of the papal kingdom fell, which tenth E.B. Eliot identifies as the falling away of Protestant England, or the British Empire, or the British Isles, from the Papal States, many had been fleeing to the New World to escape religious persecution and papal inquisition in the same place where Protestant England eventually established 13 colonies. Canada to the north was a crown colony of the sovereign city of London, under papal control. Mexico down through all of South America, Latin America, was conquered on behalf of the Vatican by the papal vassals of Portugal and Spanish conquistadors. In the New World, the only power that rose up and came to exhibit all of the attributes of the Revelation 13 earth beast is the one that developed out of the 13 colonies planted by Protestant England, the United States of America. And that I put that link in the chat room there. You can finish reading that article for yourself. And look at the connecting articles with it there. As a matter of fact, read the whole Hori Apocalyptica if you want a real education. Because you know what the Hori Apocalyptica is all about? It's all about history. And when you read history and you see how the Bible foretold that history, then you begin to understand what's going on, what in the world is going on. So, what say you? Is America Mystery Babylon? Or is it the two-horned earth beast of Revelation chapter 13? Well, I think it's proven by the Bible itself, which is which. Mystery Babylon. If you want a better understanding of Mystery Babylon, I have another article on my website that you need to read. And this is the most read article on my website. I'll put the link in the chat room right now. But it's called The Empire of the City, The Unholy Trinity That Rules the World. And there you'll find out about Mystery Babylon. And so spread those articles around. Take those links that I've given you, put them on your, social media, email them to a friend, show them to a neighbor, whatever. You know, email them to your whole list. And if with those two articles there, people have a good idea at which one is which. Which is Mystery Babylon? Which one is the Earth Beast of Revelation chapter 13, and what is an earth beast, and how do we come to determination who the beast powers that are represented in the Revelation and apocalyptic prophecy of Daniel, and how they're related to each other, and how we use the Bible to interpret the Bible itself. It's real problematic for dispensationalists, amillennialists, who don't really consider these things. They don't really look for an interpretation. They have their hypotheses, and they have 10,000 conjectures to support their hypotheses. But they have not one explicit statement in the Bible to support it. And as far as rules, and I'm still writing my book, and I'm really not happy with it. I'm thinking about rewriting the whole thing, maybe even taking another year to do it. Because I was thinking about redoing it and starting all over, reorganizing everything, and calling it Rules for Interpretation, or Rules for Apocalyptic Interpretation, or something like that. And just go through it, you know. I've got it all written. I just have to reorganize everything because I'm not really happy with the organization of it. And if I do that, if I rewrite it, it'll be a full volume, you know, on prophecy. But I'm not going to do a Hori Apocalyptica. But it'll be a full overview of prophecy. And I've written a lot because the quincentennial edition of the Hori Apocalyptica, which I have linked there at horiapocalyptica.wordpress.com, is my, is at least as far as book volume 3 and 4, I've made updates to bring it up to date. Because, you know, we're way beyond E.B. Eliot when he wrote the Hori Apocalyptica from about 1830 to the 1860s. He did 5 volumes over his life's work, and most of it excellent. But there were things that he did not see yet. He did not see the earth beast. And he violated some of the very rules that he was following, trying to figure out who the earth beast and the false prophet were. And he got it wrong. And a few other things he got wrong. And I have those noted in the updated versions. So I didn't have to change a lot, but there were some things that had to be updated. And so that's about the most, and to do a better job, you'd have to rewrite everything. But as I said, first volumes 1 and 2 and most of 3 and 4, excellent work as far as E.B. Eliot. And I hope that he would be happy with the updates. I believe if he had lived this long, he would have made many of the same updates that I did. Yes, it was a huge endeavor. It took me, it's been many years to complete that project. I think from beginning to end, about 7 years, actually. I'll never get paid for all that work. You know? Well, in a way of speaking, there's no monetary compensation that I'm going to receive for it, but hopefully. And you can even buy copies, but I put it out there for free. That's what I do with all my work, is I put it all out there for free. So it's published, for the most part, on horrorapocalyptica.wordpress.com. It's free. If you want printed copies, well, you can order them from the printer there, and they'll send you printed copies. And I get a little sales thing or whatever authors share of any sales from that. And I even have an opportunity to discount. You'll notice everything there is discounted that I sell with the printers, because the discount comes out of what I would get as the author or publisher. So, but I think my work is that important that I should give it away free. Unlike so many others out there, nobody's giving, like I review a lot of books, like I'm reviewing this book right now. It's called A Case for Amillennialism, Understanding the End Times by Kim Riddlebarger. I love his name, Riddlebarger, because it's a barge of riddles, man. And that's where I come to my conclusion that amillennialism is like flat earth and dispensationalism. There's nothing explicit in the Bible on either any of those, but they're all built upon conjecture. And that's a sad state of affairs as far as I'm concerned. And with that sad state of affairs, I'm out of time. So, anyway, stick around for those history lessons coming up. And may the Almighty bless you and keep you till we meet again.